Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 3rd of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom tonight. A Bawtat boy has appeared in court charged with murder following the death of a 14-year-old in Ramsey last week. A helpline has been set up for TT visitors who fall victim to accommodation scams, advertising properties that don't exist. And we'll get the latest from day two of the TT races. All those stories and more. Do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though,
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double...
I got a bit excited. Let's join Amy Griffiths now, who has the latest headlines. Fast am I, Amy?
Fast am I. A boy who can't be named for legal reasons has appeared in Douglas Courthouse charged with murder. It follows the death of 14-year-old Christopher McBurney in Ramsey last week. No pleas were entered, and the boy was remanded until his next appearance before the juvenile court tomorrow. Meanwhile, police say they've made a number of arrests as they investigate allegations of people making threats of retribution in connection with the murder investigation. Inspector Paul Kemp says both children and adults have been accused of making threats on social media and in person, and that more arrests are likely.
It is understandable that emotions are running high, but it is important to remind all that these incidents detract from the investigation of the death of a 14-year-old, as well as the policing of the TT.
In other news, a TT visitor has pleaded guilty to dangerous driving after almost hitting a pedestrian while travelling at high speed through a village on the TT course. Florian Kamel Roux, who's visiting from France, also admitted failing to stop for police. The clerk of the TT course is thanking everyone for their patience during disruption to this year's event. This afternoon's session had to be cancelled because of poor weather, with hopes two races can get away in this evening's contingency session. Gary Thompson says he hopes to keep Thursday as a rest day.
Everybody, whether it's riders, officials, marshals, even the public, we all deserve a day off so we can have a break, take a rest and enjoy other aspects of the event apart from the racing.
The chair of Onchan Commissioners says former board member John Hamilton was advised to consider his position after a number of allegations regarding civil matters were made against him online. Chair Anthony Allen says the matter is outside the vires of local authority legislation and it was addressed to avoid further disruption to the commissioner's business. To international news now, and it's understood the UK will be forced at a NATO summit this month to up defence spending commitments to 3.5% of GDP. Some government sources question why so much went into yesterday's 3% pledge, knowing it could soon change. Search teams have an area on lockdown as police scour more than 20 plots of land and two wells for Madeleine McCann. She was three when she disappeared in Praia da Luz in Portugal in 2007. And a man's been arrested over reports someone entered restricted grounds at Windsor Castle. It's not thought any member of the royal family was there at the time. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Gurumaya, thank you for that, Amy. Let's take a quick look at the weather now. Mainly dry this evening with bright or sunny intervals, but still a small risk of the odd isolated shower. Moderate to fresh west or southwest wind that will become locally strong overnight. Minimum temperature of 8 degrees Celsius, but dry and bright tomorrow to start. Then there is an increasing risk of showers or longer spells of rain later in the morning, this tending to peter out later in the afternoon or evening. Breezy with a fresh to strong southwesterly wind, which will ease in a little in the afternoon, and top temperatures of around 14 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Feel the fun at the TT races with Tesco. Visit your local store to top up your tank with snacks and refreshments for race day. Tesco. every little helps.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view dillshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 past 5 now, and a boy has appeared in court charged with murder. The defendant, who can't be named for legal reasons due to his age, appeared via video link at Douglas Courthouse this morning. It follows the death of a 14-year-old boy, Christopher McBurney, in Ramsey last week. No pleas were entered and the boy was remanded until his next appearance before the juvenile court tomorrow. Well, earlier today, police confirmed it's made a number of additional arrests in response to threats of retribution, as Inspector Paul Kemp explains.
The work doesn't stop there. There is a lot more to do. What I would like to do is, and I'm going to quote actually from our media release because it's probably easier and it probably gets the point across. We are currently investigating allegations of people making threats of retribution to others, both children and adults, on social media and in person. We have already made arrests and are currently investigating other reports that will likely result in further arrests. It is understandable that emotions are running high, but it is important to remind all that these incidents detract from the investigation of the death of a 14-year-old, as well as the policing of the TT. So basically what we're asking is that adults and parents that are involved in this behaviour start setting an example to their children. We want to make sure our children are safe online, and actually we just need to draw a line under this and leave this investigation the way it's being dealt with, which is solely on the death of Christopher.
Inspector Paul Kemp speaking there. A helpline set up for TT visitors assures help is at hand for people who fall victim to accommodation scams. It follows claims that scammers have been falsely advertising properties that either don't exist or are unfit for tourists. Sandra Diamond set up the TT and MGP helpline group on Facebook. She says anyone who finds that their accommodation isn't what they were expecting can reach out for help.
People can arrive here to find out that whatever they've booked through, whatever company or wherever they've seen an advert, they've booked the accommodation here and they've got here and it's not there. The address doesn't exist. The house is over derelict. And also we haven't had lots of issues with people arriving here, getting to the accommodation and it's not fit for anybody to stay in. And they've then come and asked for help. That has been an issue. We're finding that there's more scams happening in England and seem to be affecting us here. So they've booked in England with somebody and when they've got here, there's nothing here for them. They're just stranded. So what happens is we will then again contact our people. Without the community, the group wouldn't run. What's the word you use when you love your island? You love everything about your island, your community and everything. There's a word for it. I can't think what it is at the minute, but it's that. What we want is we want people to come to our beautiful island that we treasure, and we want them to really enjoy it. This fortnight and the Manx Grand Prix as well, it's the heart of everything here. It's an awful thing to say. It's where, like, the community comes together, money's made, people need that money as well, you know, like shops and whatever. And we want everybody to benefit from the races.
Earlier you mentioned that you guys haven't seen as many scams this year, but you've noticed more people reaching out for assistance because they find that the property isn't fit or the accommodation isn't fit for them.
I'm not saying there's not scamming going on. Probably is some sort of scamming, but it's not come to light with us at the minute. Bad accommodation's been going on for years. That's nothing new to us. The rate of scamming and the techniques of scamming are different now. But I've not had any calls saying they've got here and there's no property on our group, you know, when they've asked us for help. We haven't seen it yet, but I think it's probably going on other places.
That's Sandra Diamond speaking to Chanel Suku there. And just a reminder, that is called the TT and MGP Helpline Group on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Education Minister Daphne Kane says the Isle of Man's low unemployment rate is behind the recruitment struggles highlighted in the recent Business Environment and Conditions Survey. With just 0.7% unemployment, Mrs. Kane says employers are having trouble finding applicants, especially among school leavers. However, she acknowledges that more can be done to evolve the education system.
Absolutely, the education system can evolve, and we all as a society want young people to have those life skills and communication skills, which are fundamental for anywhere, any job, any future.
That's the Education Minister Daphne Kane speaking there. Well, Captain Lee Clark-Vorster, who started his career as an apprentice and now manages a cruise ship, he believes apprenticeships offer a quicker route to developing practical skills and says more needs to be done if the island wants to retain its young people.
I started with that sort of apprenticeship, then went on to a university degree, which was just the pathway. But if I hadn't have had the grounding that I had, the experience that I had, even dealing with passengers on a daily basis, I learned so much as a customer services assistant that took me on to being a captain of a cruise ship. But it's just that skill base, and soft skills, I think, is so important in today's workplace.
I'm not expecting you to have read this report, but just some recent data from Statistics Isle of Man highlighted that 80% of businesses felt young people lacked at least one of the key skills required for work. Do you feel as if apprenticeships would teach those skills faster than university, perhaps?
Yes, I think so, because when you're in university, you are sort of bubbled from employment. When you're in an apprenticeship, you're dealing with scenarios every single day that you would work, get in a workplace.
And do you think there is necessarily the appetite from businesses to take on apprentices? Because it is a business expense in many ways, that even though you're paying just a small wage, that is still an expense, and you're getting someone who has arguably little to no experience.
I think we can do more. I think we must do more to give anyone, and I'm hesitant to say young people, because again, apprenticeship can be open access to anyone. And we need to give people the opportunity to have these opportunities to get into both of those schemes. And when we are talking about young people, that the opportunities elsewhere off-island are greater than what are here.
Captain Lee Clark-Vorster speaking to me there about apprenticeships. Approaching 5:15, we'll be doing the travel in just a moment, but the island's ambulance service says it's on track to equal its busiest ever TT. So far, it's responded to nearly 500 calls as we enter race week. Will Bellamy is the head of the Isle of Man Ambulance Service and says they're well prepared.
Really busy, but nothing that we hadn't rehearsed and planned for, but we've done nearly half of our monthly activity in a week. But the teams are all working hard, the plans have been evoked. So, yeah, we're seeing patients in all over the island, so it's going well, but busy.
And when we say almost half, I mean, we're talking hundreds of call-outs here, aren't we?
Yeah, so well over 400, just shy of 500 calls. So, yeah, really, really busy.
How does that compare to previous years?
So our busiest one was 2022, and it was sort of 726 calls. So we'll see how race week goes, and we might exceed 2022's figures or somewhere similar.
What sort of calls are you sort of getting? Is it mainly sort of road traffic, or is it a big mix of things?
It's probably a big mix of everything, of our normal workload, and also, yes, peppered with a little bit more road traffic accidents, but also populations increase and they have health needs. So through chest pains, abdominal pains, shortness of breath, it's all the normal stuff, just a lot more people means a lot more calls. There's loads of healthcare services here on the island, so just really wanted to flag that we have our website that's for signposting. So whether you need to access the minor injuries units at both Nobles or Ramsay Hospital, the pharmacies across the island, and also Specsavers, if you've got an eye problem, you can access them. And also the out-of-hours doctor service here is available in the evening from 1800 hours. But yeah, and my other thing that I really want to make a point of is we have loads of rehearsed plans, and to get around this island during racing, please do not wait until, you know, there's a break in the racing to call us, because we might have a very narrow opportunity to get to you. Just if you need us, call us, and we can either come to you on the road, on foot, or in the air, and we will respond to you. So don't just sit there and wait for a long period in pain and agony whilst just because racing is on. We will have plans all over this island, working with the race organisers and the clerk of the course in the tower. We will get to you.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the roads to start. Roads are open at the moment, except for the mountain road, which remains closed. The whole course will close again at 6 o'clock, with the Superstockers and Super Twins heading out this evening. The full course, including the mountain, will be reopening no later than 9:30. There's no major roadworks to be aware of. Most of them have been put on pause while the races are happening. But if you are out and about and you spot something, do ping us a text or email, as long as it's safe to do so. 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Over at the Steam Packet, nothing to be aware of down there. Let's take a look at the airport, though, on the arrivals and departures board. The only thing to be aware of is the 4:50 Dublin arrival. That's delayed until 6:25. The subsequent 5:20 departure is also delayed until 6:50.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
The RAF Red Arrows display team mark their TT return for 2025 on Thursday the 5th of June from 7:30pm in Douglas. Watch the display from Douglas Prom, Douglas or Onken Head, and hear the commentary live from Red 10 Squadron Leader Graham Muscat, only on Manx Radio FM, AM and DAB from 7:25. Manx Radio's live commentary with the Red Arrows from Villa Marina Balcony in Douglas, Thursday evening, 5th June from 7:25pm.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A TT visitor has pleaded guilty to dangerous driving after almost hitting a pedestrian while travelling at high speed through a village on the TT course. Florian Kamel Roux, who's visiting from France, also admitted failing to stop for police. Sean Cowper was in court. Sean, first to my, what can you tell us about the incident?
Well, on Monday the 26th of May, an officer on an unmarked bike observed the 31-year-old performing what were described in court as risky or dangerous overtakes along the Cronkavody Strait at around 5:30pm. He asked a colleague on a marked bike to stop the rider, and he initially pulled in at Station Road but then rode off towards Balaff at speed, despite the first officer on the unmarked machine then gesturing for him to stop, shouting police, as well as attempting to switch off the Frenchman's bike. The court heard the visitor rode through Kirkmichael Village at extremely high speed and nearly collided with a pedestrian who was using the crossing on the main road. While being pursued by officers, Roux hit two vans before coming to rest on a grass bank at Rencullen.
And was any explanation given for his actions?
Well, Roux's advocate explained that he didn't realise the officer on the unmarked bike was with the police. Instead, he thought the officer was attempting to pull over the unmarked bike, so believed he was free to ride off. Once the unmarked officer attempted to hit the kill switch on his BMW S1000RR, Roux believed the officer was in fact attempting to hijack him.
Right, so what happens next?
Well, having pleaded guilty to both offences, Roux will need to be sentenced, but Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood confirmed the matter isn't suitable for the summary court, describing the defendant's actions as extreme bad driving. Instead, the greater sentencing powers of the Court of General Jail Delivery will be needed, so Roux will be committed to the higher court next Friday. Until then, he remains on bail at Douglas Rugby Club campsite.
Sean, thank you for bringing us up to date there. Well, it's approaching 19 minutes past five now, and changing weather patterns have raised flooding risks in prone areas, demonstrate the critical importance of regularly updating the island's flood map, according to the Infrastructure Minister. Michelle Hayward believes that information is particularly important for planning purposes and to enable the community to make informed decisions around protecting properties and infrastructure. But she's clear that the maps must not be used by insurance companies when assessing policy charges.
One of the aspects of the flood maps is to look at river flooding or fluvial flooding. And we know now that rainfall patterns have changed in the Isle of Man. In the last 20 years, it's nearly 8% more rain falls on average every year compared to the previous 50 years. So it's not a short-term impact that we're seeing. And that rain tends to come down in heavier, sharper bursts, particularly in the autumn. So that means that we have an awful lot of water arriving in one go, and that can increase the risk of flooding from rivers. And then the other aspect of that is the climate change effects on the sea. So we're kind of used to talking about sea level rise, and that seems like terribly tiny numbers. But the other effect of climate change is to drive deeper low pressures and more intense storms. And it's those low pressures in combination with high spring tides that particularly will cause more coastal flooding for us in the future.
Now, in the case of, for instance, Laxey's flood a few years ago, the work done, it's hoped, will prevent major issues in future in the area. Do you think, though, that insurance companies will finally take this into account when they adjust tariffs for a specific area?
It's absolutely clear on our maps that they're not to be used by insurance companies. It was clear on the previous iteration, so this is just an updated version with improved forecasting and improved modelling. So it's clear on the previous version, it's clear on this version as well. The flood team have spoken to insurance companies, and by and large they either use their own data or they do something very broad on, say, postcodes or something, which feels a bit unfair in the Isle of Man. You know, if you're on the road where it goes up the hill you're not going to be at risk of flooding at all, and down the bottom you may be at risk of flooding, but you'll be lumped in with them for postcode. So I'd urge individual property owners to talk to their insurance companies about how they assess flood risk.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking to Simon Richardson there. Well, let's turn our attention to something a little bit lighter now. One of the highlights of the island's cultural calendar is making its return later this month. This is the Mananan Festival, which is back at the Erin Arts Centre with a programme full of music, poetry and performance. Pip Rolfe is the centre's creative director, and he's been telling Howard Kane what we can expect.
I think the first one was 1975, because this year should be the 50th, but it's next year because of the ones we lost to COVID.
Yeah.
It was either 74 or 75.
And it's amazing, it's been going all those years, I think, started by John and continue over the years. And you only have to look around the walls of the places, the number of, it's like a who's who of classical and jazz players and comedians, God knows what else, who have appeared there over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we can continue that tradition and add to it.
Well, let's see, are we going to add to it this year? Because it looks like a good lineup.
Oh, we've got a fantastic lineup. I was just saying to you before we went on air, sometimes when you're in the middle of all the logistics, you don't actually get a chance to stand back and, you know, and marvel at it, really. But so this year we're opening up with Martin Roscoe and Sophie Rosa. Now, Martin, as most people will know, is an incredible pianist. His rendition of Beethoven's C minor sonata last year was one of my, I wouldn't say unexpected, but it absolutely floored everybody when he played a solo recital last year. Sophie is an incredible fiddle player. And it just came about that they've got this beautiful music program of spring and summer music. So they're playing Beethoven's spring sonata, Vaughan Williams' Lark Ascending, some Clara Schumann romances, and an Elgar sonata. And it just seemed like a really lovely way to start the festival. So that's on the Monday the 30th.
Brilliant, yeah, and a great name, as you say, a great player there. A great start to the festival.
Yeah, and I say, we're not sure how long Martin will keep on playing professionally for. You know, he said that to me last year, and while we've got a player of that calibre available, you know, he's like a Zen master of piano now. And it's just always such a pleasure to have him here.
Howard Kane speaking to Pip Rolfe from the Erin Arts Centre there. The festival takes place at Erin Arts Centre in Port Erin from Monday the 30th of June through till Saturday the 5th of July. More details on that can be found at manxradio.com. Right, let's turn our attention now to sports, and we can say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard. Vastamai,
Christian. Well, to start with, if you missed it earlier, TT organisers cancelled the afternoon session for today's races. It was due to further incoming showers and wet roads in the west of the island a few hours ago. It's now intended that both races, the Superstock TT Race 1 and Super Twin TT Race 1, will be run in this evening contingency slot tonight. Well, the warning signs were maybe on the wall during this morning's course inspection lap, and one of the riders who went out there shortly after 11 a.m. this morning was James Hillier.
Not ideal for racing. I think you could get away with practice on that, but it's just very patchy and unusual, really, because I sort of over the years learned where holds water, but the patches are like almost standing water in some sections. Yeah, not ideal to commit on for a race and chase time. So everyone seems to be sharing the same opinion at the moment.
Well, despite the delays and disappointment earlier, as I've mentioned, we're now hoping for a doubleheader of racing tonight instead, with both the Superstock TT Race 1 and Super Twin TT Race 1. They're both scheduled to run over the shorter distance of 2 laps each. All roads around the Snaefell Mountain course will be closed at 6 p.m. The mountain road has remained shut since this morning. First up is due to be the Superstock race at 6:30 p.m, followed by the Super Twin contest at 7:45. All roads will then reopen around the course no later than 9:30. Meanwhile, a sidecar crew involved in an incident during yesterday's sidecar TT Race 1 are continuing to recover, race officials have confirmed. The number 16 outfits of Dan Knight and Justin Sharp were involved in an incident at Brandywell on the second lap of Monday's race. Both were taken by AirMed to Nobles Hospital for further assessments. Well, as of this morning, Dan Knight has now been discharged from hospital with a leg injury. Meanwhile, Justin Sharp has been reported as stable, conscious and talking, and continues to retrieve treatment for reported head and chest injuries. And finally, Austrian rider Julian Trummer will now not compete at this year's TT with Lionheart Moto Racing. In an update on social media, the competitor says he and the crew have mutually agreed to end their collaboration. He says the decision was anything but easy, but with everything that's developed so far, it just wasn't enough to give me the trust I need on the bike. Well, Trummer, who'd been due to compete in the 1000cc and Supersport class with the team, is thanking Lionheart Moto Racing for the time spent with them and is wishing them well for the future.
Thank you very much, Rob. Busy fortnight for you then.
Absolutely.
And what's your favourite part about it?
I suppose it is the intensity a little bit as well. It's yeah. It's always great when it comes
around. But you'd never get out on a bike.
Oh, don't think I'll ever be able to do that.
All right, well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Amy Griffiths. Up next, Beth Espy has Journey to a Dream. Jason Moore is sitting in for Chris Kinley from Six with Greatest Hits. John Barker after that with the Folk Show getting underway from 9 o'clock. And then, of course, Rayanne Evans from 10 with After Hours. Do remember, if there's anything you heard tonight that you want to dive into in a bit more detail, head on over to manxradio.com. All those stories and more, plus a wide range of podcasts. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.